ain't seen nothing yet. You just jumped from one time zone to another. You went from 2022 to 2023, and here we are. And for those of you west of me in the Eastern Standard Time right now, I'm an hour ahead of you in time, so I went through a time warp. All right. Hey, listen, this is whatever this show is. It's on the 1st of January, and I have a great guest coming up. I don't even have to introduce him. He pretty much introduces himself. All I got to say is, Giuseppe, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How exciting, your first show. Hopefully it's the first of regular appearances from Andy from Texas.
Well, it would be fun. I'm not sure if I'm cut out for that, but this sure is a fun day. So, hey, Giuseppe, you know, I didn't catch your first show or something like that. I don't know. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, as in when did you realize something was wrong in the world, and then how you decided you needed to start speaking about it, and then how you grew yourself to a platform on the radio. Could you do that for us?
Sure. Well, my life kind of breaks into four chapters. I'm grew up, like, the first 10 years of my life were like the movie The Godfather. My Sicilian Nanu was the patriarch of the family. We had a small bleach business, family-owned bleach business that we all worked at. On weekends, we would save money and fill orders, and then the reward was we got to go out to eat. And then my Nanu tragically died in 1970 unexpectedly from a massive heart attack. And my father was all about becoming Americanized, and so we went through that. And then I went to school for journalism in the late 70s and early 80s and caught a real big break and became the rock critic for the Milwaukee Sentinel, as well as a reporter for the City Desk while I was still in college in 1980. And then I graduated in 82. And I'll tell you, I learned so much more actually working for the newspaper than taking journalism classes. That's funny. And then I was a professional journalist for 10 years, and I burned out on that. Then the next chapter was various entrepreneurial efforts, and then I had one corporate job that went pretty well with the CD-ROM boom of the 90s. And then burned out on that, got kind of hosed on stock options after really growing the company into the largest – helping grow the company into the largest independent CD-ROM manufacturer in North America back then. And so I had decided, my wife and I decided, you know, I'd made good money for nearly a decade. We were going to get away from corporate life, and we moved to rural New Mexico. And then I realized it was time for a midlife career change, so I went back to school. Moved back to the Midwest from New Mexico, Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, where I was born and raised, and went to one of the top five oriental medicine schools in the nation. And I graduated summa cum laude 20 years ago and opened up a small practice. I have board certified and licensed in Wisconsin and in Virginia. And I have a master's of science in oriental medicine, a bachelor's of science in East-West combined nutrition. And I have had my own practice operating for, you know, going on 15 years now. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, it's interesting. What really, you know, I've been monitoring conspiracy my entire life. My mother didn't believe Oswald killed Kennedy, and we would go to the Milwaukee Public Library and take out books about that. She was big into UFOs, and so I learned to love UFOs and all that stuff. So my whole life, and I've always been drawn to people who are into not trusting the mainstream narrative. My entire life, I could tell you, you know, when I was a little kid, I'm pretty bright, was always drawn to older kids in the neighborhood, and they would tell me all these crazy things. I'd research them. I used to go to the library constantly as a little boy and young man. And so then we were living in Milwaukee, and my wife got the opportunity to move out to Northern Virginia and get a really great job for herself. So of course we moved. And this is kind of funny. So we did it ourselves. We've always been, you know, living check to check kind of thing. I mean, very few people get wealthy, even though you work really hard to be an acupuncturist and a doctor of oriental medicine. Most people just, you know, pay the bills and a little extra, and that's about it. And that was the case with me, and still is. And so We moved ourselves. I drove this 26-foot truck packed to the gills. And, you know, it's bouncy, bouncy. It has a governor, so you're going slow. And then you drive from Wisconsin. You got to go through the mountains by Pittsburgh. And it's harrowing with because it's down to two lanes. They're doing so much construction there all the time. And
yeah.
And so we pull up to Vienna, Virginia, where we've had a rental home. And I get out of the car, and this nice neighbor walks up and says, welcome to the neighborhood. I'm Julie. My husband's Mike. And I was like, I had hardly any sleep because, you know, a big move like that, you're always more last minute stuff. So I said, whatever you do, don't ever get an effing vaccine. You know, and I didn't say effing. I said the word and she just smiled and laughed. And you got to meet my sister. Well, it turned out her identical twin sister was Dr. Judy Mikovits. And Judy came into town a couple months later. And I'm very dear friends with her twin and, well, both of them now. And so back in 2014, I heard Judy's story before it made the mainstream media. I was invited over when she was visiting because their mother was ill at the time. She's since passed. And because of corporate medicinal incompetence, really. And so, you know, I was supposed to go over and meet Judy for 30 minutes. I ended up sitting there on my jaw drop hearing the story for 5 hours, and it was just unbelievable what she'd been through. And I was like, and she, everything in 2014 that has occurred, she predicted even then, and this is what's coming. I know it, and she was right about it all. And she's a very courageous woman. So I was like, if this woman, you know, goes to jail for her beliefs fighting the powers that should not be, I certainly can do my part. So I started calling in. I've been a big fan of Jim Fetzer forever. In fact, tonight when we're doing the marathon combo of Blackbird 9 and then myself and then Robert Ravel, we're kind of doing this roundtable thing tonight as a special event for RBN to kick off the year. And Jim's coming on for an hour or two about 8 p.m. Central.
You guys are you guys taking calls? Are you going to take some calls?
Oh, of course. Yeah. We'll take calls for sure. And to finish quickly, I know I'm kind of going on a little bit.
No, it's perfect. Keep going.
Oh, okay. So I was like, I always, you know, I'm also been a professional musician for 35 years and have released 5-6 albums and specialty projects and things like that. And so I would always practice guitar. And back when the YouTube was the wild, wild west, I'd watch Jim Fetzer's shows and many other people's shows. And then I'd what you call woodshed, you know, I'd practice a guitar for 3-4 hours. And I just love Jim Fetzer. He's just an amazing, interesting guy. And so when he moved over to radio, when they kicked him out of YouTube, I followed him and listened to him on Rev Radio. And I called in just a couple times because he was getting some callers with dramatic misinformation about Quaxination and everything. And so I called in and I kind of corrected it. And he really dug the calls. And off air, he's like, you should call in regularly. We want to be a guest. You want to write an article for my website? And I'm like, you know what? I do. Because in the 80s, I burned out on the media, man. It's hard work. There's a lot of arrogant people in it, a lot of narcissists. Compared to now, it's nothing. Yeah. It's like a walk in the park compared to the lunatics around now. But I was like, you know what? I got to do my part. There's dark clouds coming. And so that was about what, 4 or 5 years ago, I started calling in. People seemed to like, and Jim said, don't use your real name. Although my real name is Giuseppe, it's just Americanized now to Joseph or Joe. And so I was named after Giuseppe, my Sicilian nonna. And so we came to the point where I'm like, sure, Jim, that's probably a good idea. But in reality, I probably should have just used my real name. But, you know, Giuseppe's catchy. It's not a common name.
I like, yeah. Hey, I can't spell it. I tried to text your name out
of
being the guest. Yeah, Chance knows how to spell it. He always corrects me. But, you know, Chance from West Virginia. But, hey, so then you ended, how did you get on the radio regularly? Because you got several shows.
Well, I was being a guest and regularly on Jim and calling in, and Revolution Radio said, "Hey, would you like a show?" And I'm like, "Sure, I can do that." I was in the 80s. I was part of the morning team on the largest rock and roll FM station in Wisconsin for a couple of years when I was the rock critic. So I was pretty polished and doing all that stuff. And so started out with one show, and then got to be paired up with David Scorpio, and we had a good chemistry, And so started being a co-host on his show. He was a co-host on my show. And then he had another show, and one of the hosts backed out on the last minute. He says, "Hey, you want to take that time slot?" And I'm like, "Sure." So we created a show called The Wisdom Circle. So we had, when we were going hot and heavy, we had The Wisdom Circle on Wednesdays. We had The Perfect Triangle on Fridays. And then we had the Operation Scorpio Saturdays for 3 hours. And then, you know, we were getting some flack. I mean, Revolution Radio has been around a long time. They have a lot of cool hosts. But some of the ownership doesn't really like to deal with the enemy, the Jewish question. And they would, you know, they were very insulting to Scorpio and myself and, you know, mocking. Even though we were like the highest rated shows on their network, they were like, "Oh, here we go, three hours of hate and kicking all our loyal listeners out of the chat room." So all of a sudden, Dave Gahari, Paul English, and the author Tom Goodrich had kind of bonded over the Scamdemic, and they called themselves the Three Unmasketeers, and they'd have these, you know, ranging Skype conversations all the time. They really hit it off. They became three thickest thief buddies, and they were saying, "We need our own network. You know, we need a network where nobody is censored." And so that was the gestation of Speak Free Radio, where I'm now. That's my radio platform. And then I was honored to be asked to be on RBN about a year ago, and well, going on a year, and that's worked out really well. I've always been a fan of RBN. So then I created a new show for RBN and for Speak Free Radio called The Sane Asylum, a play on the fact that the world is so insane that you need a place where you can go and actually be sane and have sane conversations with other people. And so that's where we are now. And then unfortunately there was a lot of turbulence the first year of Speak Free Radio, and some people were not who they represented themselves to be. And there were, it was real, you know, like a minor league civil war where are you on my side, are you on their side kind of thing, which is really unfortunate. But, you know, we all chose sides, and unfortunately Scorpio and I went our separate ways. And it's too bad. We had a rare chemistry, and he's a great guy. But, you know, we definitely had a falling out. Maybe someday in the future we'll patch it up. But right now we're definitely in different camps. So.
Well, hey, you know, but so you got a lot to savor here. I mean, the things you've been through, what you know, your upbringing, how you got into the reporter business, and I mean, just everything that you went through and stuff. You've got a lot on the line here now, and you wear it well. So, hey, let's dig into what I want to get rolling on here. I gave you a couple of topics when we talked a week or so ago. Let's talk about the hunger thing. Let's talk about food going away. And you know, I don't want to scare anybody, but we've got to start realizing the images that are going to be coming, you know, forthcoming. We do have evidence that the food is going away. We've lost millions of chickens and turkeys to the bird flu. They didn't get our fertilizer. Of course, Vanguard and BlackRock owned the trains, and they wouldn't get the fertilizer. They didn't bring enough fertilizer. We don't know if we're going to even get a crop set this spring or whatnot. All the different processing plants, 115 plus, are blown up and whatnot. Store prices are going up. I think Lauren bought some eggs the other day from Ohio. She bought, or she didn't buy some eggs because she worked it out. It was 39 cents an egg. Oh my God, flat of eggs, 39 cents an egg. Yeah, it was crazy. So, I mean, and then you go try to buy a couple of steaks that you could have got for $12 a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever, but now they're $16, $18, $20. You know, things are going up, and then you know what the World Economic Forum has got in mind for you, too. You know, you will eat the bugs, blah, blah, blah. And we need to get ready for a more angry world. Yeah, whatever. We got to start looking. We're not mustering anything up here, Giuseppe. We're not mustering anything up. American people won't even get together at a VFW and start talking some sort of plan to preserve their little town or their little, you know, wherever they want to put their last defense up. But nobody will even talk about that. So let's talk about, I want to put some images in people's heads tonight of what it's going to be like. I mean, because when... Well, give me your take on the food thing, and then I'll take it in another direction.
Well, the powers that should not be, as the great Andrew Carnegie Hitchcock calls them on his daily shows, have gone all in. Whatever their occult timeline is, it's happening now. And they feel somehow that they can really gain their wet dream, which is a one world government with the headquarters in Jerusalem and transnational corporations and the central banking cabal controlling everyone down to the local level. And it's just beyond evil what they're doing. There is no bird flu. They're injecting these birds with these toxins and this garbage. And even though the birds appear sick because they've been dosed, if you cook a turkey or a chicken thoroughly, there is no risk. So that meat is still good. It's nothing but lies upon specious lies and nothing but sophistry. And so, but people have to understand that it's going to get worse. They've sabotaged, I think it's going on 150 different types of processing plants and food production plants in the last year. They've sabotaged the production of commercial fertilizer to a certain degree. It's not, none of it is all gone. There's plenty of other options, but it's going to drive the prices of everything sky high and get worse. They've installed a corrupt pedophile in the as I call him, the living glory hole, Joe Biden. The reason I can say that with certainty is the little girl who he molested. I have the video clip of it, and she's an adult now and said, yes, he did that. He touched me inappropriately. His own daughter wrote an autobiography or in her diary that got leaked that he abused her so much she would wait until they went to sleep to take a shower because otherwise Biden would join her in the shower and molest her. So this is what we're dealing with. And he in no way was elected. He was installed by these powers that should not be. And so people, I need to understand that it's going to get worse. So, you know, to address the primary question of what do you do for food? Well, you know, you really need to have some type of system that filters water, even if it's toilet water, right? We own a couple Berkey water filtration systems, which is a gravity water filtration system. There's many good ones around, but you just have to make sure that it filters the most dirty water into potable water. You can live off your body's fat, but you can't. You'll die from not having clean water well before you starve to death. So that's step one. Step two is you have to understand that, you know, you should have like 100 pounds of rice, 100 pounds of organic pasta, because if you buy regular pasta, and organic pasta isn't that expensive, but regular pasta and all regular wheat are sprayed with glyphosate, and so they become toxic and destroy your gut biome. At least organic pasta is not. You want to have a ton, well, a ton's a lot. You want to have hundreds of aseptic packages or cans without bisophenol A of different kinds of soups and chili and vegetables. And, you know, like here
let's go a little bit further on this, though. Okay, so you got this stuff and you're set and your neighbors got some stuff, but a couple of your neighbors don't have some stuff. But we've got a problem. We've got mega cities all around here. And right. It depends on how they shut off the food supply. I mean, most of these people are depending on a box store, and they go to shop every 3 days. They pick up some fresh fruit, and they make food right. for the next 3 days, and then they do it again. Well, eventually, yep. they're going to go to the store. The shelves are going to be a little bit bare. There's going to be the prices are a little bit high. If they fight through it, next time they go there, the prices are even higher. The shelves are even bare. And then the third time, and it doesn't have to be three, they go to the store, and the damn store is locked. So the first thing they do is, okay, well, we'll go right. to the store over on 50th or whatever, and that one's locked too. And next thing you know, you see a whole bunch of people going around all over the place because nobody can get anything. When this happens, if they should do it that way, which could very well be it, they could, hey, looks like we're on a break here.
Here we go.
Here we go.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
All right, hey, looks like we're back. We're back in the saddle again. It is January 1st, 2023. You are listening to RBN. I've got a guest here. It's Giuseppe. I'm Andy from Texas. And let's get back to where we were. I know I was kind of in mid-sentence, but let me throw the scenario out there, and then I want to kind of get your reaction to it. Again, we go back to what I was talking about. The groceries are empty, and then people start to flood the streets. The first thing they do, they're going everywhere, even restaurants and stuff, because they're panicking. I mean, Just bear with me, and then, you know, because this could very well be a scenario. They may do it like that. I don't know. It could be slow, and they could ease us into the FEMA camps, blah, blah, blah. But let's say the reaction is that a bunch of people start getting hungry, and they do find food for a while, but then they start to spread out. They get into the suburban times and stuff. How many people in this country, A, do you think have a gun, and B, how many people do you think will use it correctly? And or, you know, because this is going to happen. I mean, this is a train wreck, Giuseppe. This is a train wreck, this food thing. We're just not seeing it right now, but I think 2023 is going to pull the covers back, and we're going to see this, and it's going to get ugly. So what do you think about that? How does it go in your mind?
Well, I think that what you described is absolutely a plausible scenario. I would describe it as worst-case scenario. And I think that another possible scenario is the enemy that should not be likes to – their motto is, by deception we shall wage war. And I think that their true goal is not to destroy this country. They want to enslave this country – first step being the North American Union. So if they continue to put the clamps on food production and distribution, they did the test run with Operation Warp Speed and that worthless, maiming, deadly injection. It's can't call it a quaxination because it's literally an experimental gene therapy. But I think that they will seek to keep the mega cities under control with a huge military presence, and just like you used to see in the third world nations or after war with the military trucks showing up with food packages to give in the long lines. I think they will retain order that way. And then the old Hegelian dialectic, which is something they constantly use, a problem, reaction, solution. So they're setting up the problem like, oh, you know, your eggs cost $15 a dozen, your steaks are $50. But you know what? If you go and start using the central bank digital currency, this universal basic income card we give you, and you start to obey and be a good little social credit, obedient little citizen, you know, life is going to be okay for you. You may have to eat some bugs, but you'll get meat once in a while. So to me, that is also a plausible scenario, because if they blow it all up.
Yeah, no, it's very plausible. No, it's very plausible. And the simple fact that that's a good segue, because we are going to move into digital currency. I understand it's supposed to take a major move in May of 2023. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it. But before we go there, have you heard of the Human Meat Project?
Yes. We all saw the predictive programming in the 70s of Soylent Green and all the Chilean, based on the true story of the Chilean soccer team that crashed in the Andes and they had to eat the dead to survive. So that is one of the dreams of the globalist occultists, is to get their cattle to eat each other. So yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, the Human Meat Project, they got a website, and apparently from what I can see, it's 2021. It's called HMP, and they go down there. They actually legitimately say, somebody my height and my weight, so about 6 foot, 170, that could feed 40 people. Okay, that could feed 40 people. And then below that, it also says that with this, we could cure world hunger. We could also cure overpopulation and... drum roll, please. This would take care of climate control too, or whatever, climate gate, or whatever they got going. I mean, this is just ridiculous how it's going. And then you got the New York Times coming out saying, "Hey, maybe it's time we revisit cannibalism." So, the UN on their website, it says we will experience a lot of. I want to do a Klaus Schwab using the UN, but they said that we're going to experience a world shortage of food early in 2023, and now they're usually on or off a couple of months. So we'll give them what it is, but that's why I think the food shortage is the worst thing. But we're going to segue into digital currency. And that's going to, I mean, some of these digital currencies apparently in China, you get allotted amount of currency on your card. And if you don't use it all, it expires. So you can never have a savings. You can't get your credits built up because it expires and you get your next universal basic income thing or whatever. This is interesting how they're really going to do this. And then you got your 15-minute cities, you know. It's almost like after you get out of the FEMA camp, you're on work release, and it'll send you to a 15-minute city. And as long as you stay in the city, you might be able to move out and get a house in the woods. I think we already did this one time. It was called, Revolutionary.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, with the digital currency, we're in a big problem. What do you think about the digital currency? How do you think that's going to affect people and your cash moments that you want to give cash?
Well, it sounds like we're about to hit another break.
Okay, yes, let's bounce off the break. We'll be running.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. rbnhemppaste.com.
Time is short. We got to get back to business before the break. This is Andy, and I got Giuseppe on the line, too. Before we left the break, for the break there, I was just getting to the question about how do you see digital currency working out, you know, especially when you're used to using the cash and stuff. I mean, how do you think that's going to roll out?
Well, again, it's all part of the Build Back Better, the Great Reset, the whole globalist scam to create the one world government. I think that typically as they've instituted de facto world communism with this communitarian polished zio-communist turd that the weak-minded young people are buying into hook, line, and sinker, I think that they'll push it forward and then there'll be too much uproar and they'll 2 steps forward, 1 step back, which is the whole communist philosophy. And so I think it's inevitable. It's really fascinating that basically what you've had all along and exists right now is two powerful factions, the globalist faction who wants this central bank digital currency, and then the leading edge technical types who want open source blockchain currency. And so that's why they created all these instant millionaires and billionaires with Bitcoin and all that. Bitcoin's a fraud. It was launched by the Rothschild banking cabal. I mean, all you have to do is go back and look at the cover in 1987 of The Economist, which is the Rothschild magazine that tells you what their plans are, and they had the symbol for Bitcoin. But there's something better than Bitcoin, which is this open source things like the IPFS, which stands for the Interplanetary File System, and there's true open source digital currency and cryptocurrency. So that's why they're attacking Bitcoin and Ethereum and all these things now, because they don't want people to realize that there is an option for the masses, not for the banking elites. So I think it's inevitable at some point. But I think that it's going to be a rocky road, because there's too many of us still alive who want to have cash and use cash. And so I guess we'll see.
So they're gonna try again. So if it doesn't work the first time, we're gonna come at you again in a different form. It, one way or the other, like you said, it's gonna get here, and it is gonna ruin a lot of things. Hey, so we got a phone call. By the way, you want to take calls there, Giuseppe?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
All right. Well, let's put the phone number out. Hey, you do it best. Go ahead and tell them, boss.
Oh, okay. Let me see where my notes are. We welcome your calls. Area code 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And they always say it thrice, 512-248-8252.
All right. And it sounds like we got Mike from Kentucky waiting in line there, and Maybe we'll get a visit.
I was trying to do it in stereo, but I heard a big burst of static. I thought he put me on the air. I was trying to do it in stereo with you.
Perfect.
1-512-248-8252. The 800 number might be worth giving out on occasion for the calling in on the donation line.
The donation line. Right. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, to support RBN. If you're one of these folks that doesn't like to use the snail mail to send Federal Reserve notes, those work too, apparently. But or you don't have PayPal or something. You know, I don't know what all they're set up for. Pay by check over the phone works sometimes. You know, so you can always call that number and say, so what are my options? 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. If you're like Alan from Texas or some of these folks that are shying away from technology, you can call that 800 number and say, so what are my options? Because you can't, you know, if you're against the Internet because of whatever. Giuseppe, you should do a show with Dr. Horowitz just so people would be like, wait a minute, you sound just like him or a lot like him. You know,
I'm not really familiar with Dr. Horowitz.
Maybe I've got the name wrong. He comes on with John Moore in the morning. I may be thinking of the wrong guy. His house was tore up in Florida by the hurricane. He did the In Lies We Trust movie. Is that not Dr. Lynn Horowitz? I may have the name wrong.
I think you're right. I think that is that gentleman's name.
He's on RBN. You sound a lot like him. Where's your accent from?
I am born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so I have a cheesehead accent.
Well, I'm sure there's some people like people have accused me of having holes in my thinking. So,
switch. It's just a saying, Mike. You'll get over it. Mike. Yeah, let's jump on topic. What do you think about the digital currency? What do you think about the hunger thing?
I think they're going to end up just like they've done in Argentina and different places where currencies have collapsed or they've tried to tighten the screws down. It's like what happens when you hand a ball of jelly to a toddler in a high chair. They squeeze it until there's nothing left but a sticky mess. They're going to end up making a massive underground economy. People are going to figure out ways to do stuff on their own, private or not, and hack. I mean, I'm from Eastern Kentucky. We've been hacking satellite TV since the 80s so we could watch whatever, you know. So there's a way to hack it. They'll figure it out. But what I've been hearing you guys talk about for a couple hours, and I tried to call in earlier, and then the dang call chimed in, and I had to drop off. There was a guy in Kentucky that ran for governor several times, ran for attorney general, and never could get elected. He was running for he finally died. He was campaigning on medical marijuana and industrial hemp. You know, he drove his car all the way across Kentucky with hemp oil, D diesel, had a diesel Mercedes, I think, an attorney named Gatewood Galbraith. He used to have this Gatewood stock in Bath County of Gad. I never did get to go. But he and the Take Back Kentucky crowd hired me in 1997 to film something called The UN and a Man in the Biosphere. And I've been paying attention. I had to edit that video and look up and get graphics off the early off the internet, and they gave me some stuff to film. And so I've been paying attention to that. I think his name was Hoffman or something. He had all these maps. He was out of Maine talking about the UN man in the biosphere. And I've been kind of paying attention to that. And one of the reasons I really was noticing this stuff was I drove into the Great Smoky Mountains in like 1994 or 95, and I was like, wait a minute, I had to turn around and go back and look, because they had routed into the wooden sign that the Great Smoky Mountains was a UN biosphere. I was like, what the flip? So I've been watching this stuff for a long time. When I was down to the Great Smokies a couple of times, I found this magazine called Wildland Times, and I realized these guys are putting out publications. Where are they getting their money? And they're serious. They're dead serious. Well, then Lexington, there was this hippie bookstore called Skeshal Media, and you could go in there and find Mother Earth News and all these, you know, off-the-beaten-path magazines where they talked about the pre-internet. So having to do a documentary that was an hour long, you know, and edit that and film it, Kaufman was the guy's name, David Kaufman, I think, had those maps out. Now, those were an extrapolation. He basically exaggerated how that could be overlaid over the entire United States. We're talking about these 15-minute cities and the depopulation zones. We have to do a reverse attack on this, because what they're doing is they're attacking local governments' bond issues financially. And
yeah, but
you can
Mike, time out. You say we need to make an attack on these. We can't even get a damn VFW filled up with neighbors to talk about what the hell's wrong in your neighborhood. So, we got another caller. Mike, sum it up. We got a couple more callers coming in.
That's what I'm trying to do, is to offer the solution here, you know.
All right.
What you got, like you say, you got to show the evidence to people. Hey, they're declaring some of our county's bond issues junk bonds after they've lured the counties into spending money they don't have and using these credit-based systems. The federal government's running on the same sort of thing. It's fueled by monetized debt. So instead of letting them do this to the local governments, because all you have to do is collapse the utilities, and they'll move people out of these wildlife corridors in no time flat. People won't be able to afford to live there. And they'll start borrowing money from the International Monetary Fund, like Mitch McConnell and Hal Rogers have tried to propose here in Kentucky, turning our rugged hillsides and creeks and stuff into a monument, because the coal jobs are gone, right? I call it the coal hole economy. So they've targeted this corridor from Canada down to the Great Smoky Mountains, and I'm right on the edge of it. I don't want to move.
Well, you wouldn't expect the rest of any less. You wouldn't expect any less from your congressman. Hey, Mike, you got to move on, though.
All right.
Two more phone calls.
Thanks.
So. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Hey, who's next? Hey, Lynn in Maryland. Come on up and talk to us. Okay.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New
You're
Year.
You're wonderful. Thank
Happy
you,
New
Andy.
Year.
And nice to meet you, Giuseppe. Thank you very, very much. I'm wondering if... Giuseppe is still in my area in Vienna. I'm in Maryland, neighbors. And how fortunate for somebody to live next door to Judy Mikovits' sister. Congratulations. I could sit for hours and listen to Judy. I wanted to also thank Sam very, very much for today. I mean, what a blessing. And every weekend, all the hard work he does. And also to thank Julie and Mike as well. But. We keep advertising, you know, remember republicbroadcasting.org. Well, also, anybody can share with anybody they know who also doesn't use the internet or is in a nursing home or something. They can listen by phone at 641-741-1782. Again, 641-741-1782. Your personal carrier and any restrictions or anything would apply, but if you have unlimited long distance, you can listen.
Nice.
Okay. I heard an interview about a book that came out recently, Chip Wars, and it was on C-SPAN's afterwards about 2 weeks ago. And when transistors first came out, they had, I mean, when chips, silicon chips came out, they had four transistors. They now have like thousands on that little chip. And soon they can't shrink them down much further. And so they're going to need, either everything's going to crash or they're going to come up with another alternative, which my guess is that's a check mark anyway. But when the guy said what they were going to use, human DNA. Okay, there you go. Also, when I'm done, if Seppi could share when his show is. And then when it comes to CBDC, I feel like we're marching forward with the digital currency. If you think Bankman-Fried, it's not so much that nightmare because plenty of people have gotten their money back, like, you know, the Bahamas. And but it's that whole just you got to have two sides to march it forward. And the problem is that we go cashless, we are doomed. We are doomed.
Yes, ma'am.
And people keep using their cell phones to purchase. They're hooked. They're addicted to the technology, to the all the, just the technology. It's a nightmare. Actually, Martin Korzymba's book, The Cashless Revolution, is about China's fintech and where we're headed. Also, one other thing. The U.S. House of Representatives Coronavirus Select Committee had their final meeting about 2 weeks ago. And they actually stated in that meeting that the mRNA technology was created in 1995 by DARPA.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Without a doubt. Hey, Giuseppe, you got anything to add to that?
Oh, what a great call.
Like you touched your neighborhood,
Used to be in Vienna, and fortunately, my wife and I received a minor miracle, and we were able to purchase a home 90 minutes south in rural Stafford County. So I'm enjoying life a lot more on a dead end country road these days. So.
That sounds nice. When are you
it
on?
It really is. Pardon me?
When are you on RBN?
Oh, when am I
showing?
On? RBN Sunday nights from 10 to 11. I'm the warm up act for the king of Sunday nights, Robert Ravold and Incendiary Radio. And then on Speak Free Radio, I'm on Wednesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time with the Sane Asylum. And then that's the Hump Day show. And then Thursdays, it's 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for another Sane Asylum. And then Fridays, the show that I came back to the media with, which is The Perfect Triangle, which is 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. And if you cannot hear those shows live, I have a website, the letter R for Rising, R-Tide Media, which is where I put all the shows. I simulcast live video to Rumble and Twitter and Odyssey. And so you can always, if you can't catch a Giuseppe show live, you go to rtidemedia.com, and they're always there. This, as soon as I'm done, I put them up at my website. So that's the ways to check out my shows.
Do you have a telephone number to listen by phone? May I suggest that while you're
Sunday
still
nights.
Live online that you go to Audio Now and get an Audio Now telephone number? It should be free to anybody who broadcasts.
Oh, really? I did not know that. That's
so
cool.
When
Audio
they
Now,
take
is
down
called?
The internet
okay.
or something, people still have access. I mean, I don't use the internet. I repented
sure.
in 2017.
Hey, Lynn, okay, anything audio. Else? I got another phone
nope,
call.
Nope, I'm going to let you go because you have other callers. I just thank you so, so much. And, Andy, it's so good to hear you. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you on the radio. It's good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we got Paul in California. How you doing, Paul? Come on in here.
I got to tell you, the Human Meat Project, I love it. It's got a lot of potential. I'm thinking from a white nationalist or a white supremacist point of view here, you know, we could have large feedlots on the border. And, you know, instead of all the hemming and hawing about what we're going to do with all this immigration, we could have a policy, like a new policy, welcome immigrants. And, you know, just like the famous Twilight Zone episode, you know, it's a cookbook, but we don't tell them exactly why they're so welcome, you know? And we could work it into the food supply, into Applebee's and Arby's, for example, because thinly sliced meat, properly seasoned, I mean, who's to know? And I ran the idea by my dog Teddy, and he looked at me and he says, yeah, I can dig it. So puts a whole new meaning on Chinese food, Mexican food, you know, Mediterranean food. What do you guys say?
Hey, I think it's a great idea, but I think Giuseppe, he's probably a little hungrier than I am right now. I'll let him handle that one.
You guys, I know Paul's being facetious because there's humans are not meant to eat humans. They're, you know, all this predictive programming of these the Walking Dead zombie shows and all that. Well, that's what'll happen if you eat human meat. I forget the exact name of that disease. Curse something, curse, whatever. I always stumble on that word, but we're not meant to eat humans. So, oh boy, that would be a nightmare.
It is hysterical, though. You know, obviously, I never heard of it until your show. You know, I just happened to tune in. I was just, you know, doing the normal thing people do on New Year's Day, which is nothing as a rule. And, you know, I clicked on RBN, say, okay, what's going on? Who's talking? And I heard the Human Meat Project, and I went to the website.
No, it's interesting. I mean, they actually think you can feed 40 people out of one body. That's pretty. They're cutting everything up. They might even be able to make soup out of the bones. Well, we don't even know.
It's amazing, though. It's just like, it's serious. It says one body can feed up to 40 people. Together, we can end world starvation, overpopulation, and climate change. Yeah, it's just, you know, hey, listen, everybody always says we live in an insane world, we live in clown world, so on and so forth, and if nothing else, these people are entertainment, you know, to us, right up until the time that we cut their heads off.
I'm just wondering if we can get anybody to muster up the courage to even try to cut their heads off. I'm serious, though. We can't even get an Elks Club full of people in the neighborhood just to talk about, hey, what the hell's going on?
I think if we offer free beer and pizza, we might be able to raise a rabble of, you know, shall we say, a posse, like in the old days. So we shall see.
Yeah, we'll have-
anyway, interesting. Thanks for taking my call, and I thought I would inject a little Paul humor. Okay. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Thanks
for the
call.
Happy New Year, Paul.
All right. So, Giuseppe, we got a little bit of time left. Why don't you go ahead and tell the people what's... Oh, okay. Let's do another caller, and then we'll let you tell everybody what's going on next. Who's...
Sure.
Tom in Utah? Come on, Tom.
Hi, Giuseppe.
Hey, Tom. How are you? Happy New Year.
You too. And you're there with a rascal, Andy, from Texas, right?
Those are the best shows.
I beat up on Andy a lot. I want to keep him alive and well for the battle. But anyway, on a serious note, when you come to a food shortage... do you remember how many calories a human being generally requires?
Oh, it's got to just survive.
Oh,
it's not that high, but it's still pretty high. So please tell us.
Where'd you go, Tom?
Well,
two-thirds
of that is used to get the one-third. I mean, three-fourths of it, I should say, is used to obtain the one-fourth. So if you just make a little bit of modification, you can do very well on the fourth of
those. What was the calorie intake? You're saying two-thirds of something. I didn't even get the calorie intake. What's the calorie intake that we need to survive?
Giuseppe, do you remember?
To be honest, it's low, but I don't have it off the tip of my tongue. Please tell us.
Generally, normally, we say a person requires about 2,000 calories, if I remember right. But actually, to run your body, you only use about 500. The other 1,500 is designed or is utilized in the obtaining of the 500. So if you'll just modify your behavior, you won't have to have 2,000 calories if you make sure you use the food supply that will provide the 500 without any additional energy expended by your body.
All right. Hey, Tom, we're just about out of time here, and I want Giuseppe to plug what's coming up next.
So, okay, go ahead.
I need to cut you off, but we got to roll.
We're coming up in an hour, beginning at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, is two-hour blocks. The first is from the brilliant host of the Saturday Night Snack Shack, Frederick C. Blackburn, and, of course, the King of Wednesday Night with his Breakfast Club. And then that's 6 to 8 p.m. Central. Then I take over for 2 hours, which is 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, and then the King of Sunday Night, Robert Ravel. But we're going to combine efforts, and so it's going to be like a rotating roundtable. We've got some really great guests, Alfred and Monica Schaefer, John Friend, Maleficus Scott from UK, Jim Fetz is jumping in when it's and Frederick and I and Robert's going to pop in, and then we're going to stay over. So it's a essentially a 6 hour rotating mega roundtable, and we'll take calls. So it's going to be a very cool way to kick off New Year's for RepublicBroadcasting.org.
So Giuseppe, you're not taking over right after this show?
No, it's going to be an hour break.
Oh, we're going to hour break. Okay. you got to take a break. All right, we got an hour break. All right, that's great. Hey, well, I guess thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I hope we covered some stuff. We know some more about Giuseppe. I wanted to have him on because, to me, he was the uprising host when he came on. He came in a good spot right after Elkins and right before Ravel, and it was a great spot to fill, and it was a pleasure having you with me here, Giuseppe. Appreciate it.
Oh, Andy, what an honor for your first show. Thank you for asking me, and I hope you start doing more, man. You're a natural.
Well, I keep trying, and we'll see what happens. You have a good one. Enjoy your show tonight. I'll be listening.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.